Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Blackhawks Live.
No, it's all the same way.
Go Blackhawks!
That's hockey, baby!
From the downtown studios of WGN Radio, it's time for Blackhawks Live.
Let's pull back the curtain, go behind the scenes of your favorite hockey team.
That's what we're here for, guys, to win.
Blackhawks Live, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Drive what Kane and Taves drive. Here's Chris Bowden and Nick Gismondi.
Excited to be joining you once again at 7 o'clock on a Monday night for an hour of Blackhawks conversation, as we always do it, unless the Blackhawks are playing on a Monday night. Hello once again, Nick Gismondi. How many strokes did you shave off of the game this week?
We worked on putting this week, so
Really?
We're in a better place, I think, Chris. A better place, mentally at least. Hi,
yes.
Buddy. I miss you. How's things?
Listen, same here. Doing okay. It was kind of a roller coaster week for this team.
Yeah.
You know, coming off of that 1-5 road trip, you build up excitement. You get re-energized by the fact that you're finally able to figure out a way to beat the Florida Panthers in regulation. But then I had a little bit of trepidation going into that back-to-back against Nashville, because this is a team the Blackhawks have been struggling against since that 2017 first-round playoff sweep by the Predators, to be quite honest. And that was a team coming in with some momentum. You hope the Hawks built enough momentum behind those two victories against the Panthers. You get Kirby Doc back as well, but it just wasn't to be. This Nashville team executing. The light has gone on for them in the last 3 weeks, and all of a sudden they're right there. They're in the thick of the playoff chase, 2 weeks out of the trade deadline.
Yeah, it's kind of like what we talked about on the end of the last show a week ago. We said, you know, this is where teams, you really want to peak, you really want to turn at exactly the right time. And Nashville is a team in a situation where they're in that upward trend and you know, peaking probably at the right time. And right now, Chicago's still trying to figure some things out. I was super encouraged by the way they played Florida. Thought that was massively... You know, I think that was a massive step in the right direction for them, but that step back against Nashville, you know, I think you heard the comments from, you know, DeBrincat saying, you know, they got to find their identity. They've mm-hmm. got to stay consistent. They have to understand that when they play the way that they're supposed to play, good things happen. And I think the most frustrating thing for this organization right now is just figuring out how to do that consistently, game in and game out.
Yeah, because that's exactly what Nashville was doing. You know, playing a hard game, relentless. That's what Jeremy's asking of his yeah. guys. When the Hawks have been successful, that's exactly been their MO, their identity, if you will. And that just seemed to be missing. They were back on their heels pretty much from the opening puck drop, because, you know, Nashville scores 5 minutes into each of these games. And with the difficulty the Blackhawks have scoring against this team, it's almost like you're feeling like it's a mountain to climb. Since that 27, I repeated these numbers on the podcast today, I did on the broadcast as well over the weekend. 20 games now since that four-game sweep in 2017. Blackhawks and Nashville had played 20 games. The Hawks have totaled 36 goals in those 20 games. Seven of them came in one game. And they're 4-12-4 against the Predators. And this spans a couple of coaches as well, too. It's just kind of a mystery. And four more games to go against Nashville this season, including Saturday afternoon down in Music City. They have to find a way to figure that out, Nick.
Yeah, four very big games against Nashville. And I think you look at a confidence factor as well, skill-wise, but confidence-wise. You know, the other game's a great example, the game last night, you know. A huge comeback. You know, I watched it. I'm thinking, all right, here we go. That's step in the right direction. Just hang on, pick up one point here at the least and get into it. But Nashville has that confidence against Chicago to come out and pull off that win in the final minutes. And then, you know, you got that in the back of your head now when you go up against these guys a couple more times, like you said. But I think the most important thing to keep in mind here is that there are massive points on the board. And again, DeBrincat said it, that these are big moments. It's do or die pretty much every game right now, and we knew it was going to come down to that, but I still will attest that I think the biggest games of the season are going to be the last four against Dallas.
Yeah, we'll have Carolina coming up this week, and we will preview that and reminisce a little bit with our guest in our second half hour, Justin Williams, who retired this season, now a member of the Hurricanes front office. He will join us a little bit later on the show, but after this timeout, we are pleased to be joined by the assistant general manager in charge of player development for the Blackhawks, Mark Eaton. We'll talk about his role, his staff, what they do, and some of the prospects in the pipeline, how he's staying in touch with them and how they're looking. That's all straight ahead when we come back. On the other side, this is Blackhawks Live, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Drive what Kane and Taves drive on 720 WGN.
To bring it at center ice, racing it over the Preds line, works it from forehand to backhand, shoots, he scores! With a forehand wrist shot, the Cat strikes again! This time he rolled through the crease, puck on the backhand, went to the forehand, and slid it in behind Rene, and we're tied! 2-2 the score!
That's John's call from last night, an absolutely brilliant individual effort by Alex DeBrincat, who has now matched his entire goal total from last season, 18. He scored his 17th and 18th less than 2 minutes apart last night. Unfortunately, the Blackhawks ended up falling to the Nashville Predators by a final score of 3-2. Welcome back to Blackhawks Live, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Drive what Kane and Taves drive. Along with Nick Gismondi, I'm Chris Bowden. We are pleased now to be joined by the Blackhawks' assistant general manager in charge of players development. It's in his sixth year with the organization after a promotion to that role late last year, and that's following a playing career of 650 games with four different clubs, including the 2009 Stanley Cup champion Pittsburgh Penguins. Played collegially at Notre Dame. We welcome in Mark Eaton. Mark, thanks a bunch for joining us. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Yes.
Looking forward to the conversation.
Yeah, us too. And for those who may not be as familiar, your title, explain what your current role is now and how you oversee things in that role, and as well how you became a member of the Blackhawks organization once your playing career ended.
Yeah, so I'll start with the latter. You know, I became a member, I think it's 7 years ago now. So, you know, when my playing career ended in 2013, and, you know, I had prepared all of that off season to play that year, and then nothing really came of it. And just was going to take the year off, but it was only, you know, a month or two into it, just really, really started to miss the game. And, you know, I'm sure all newly retired pros will tell you, you know, you get bored pretty quickly. So, you know, between that and missing the game, wanted to get back into it in some capacity. So just reached out to general managers that I played for. And there were really no opportunities there. And then kind of on a whim sent an email to Stan, you know, being that we had the Notre Dame connection in common, and turns out that the timing was pretty good. The spot had just opened up as a player development coach to specialize with the defensemen, and that's kind of how I got into the organization. So, you know what they say, timing is everything. But as far as my role now, you know, just main responsibilities are heading up our player development department, the great staff that we have in place there, keeping an eye and working with our amateur prospects that aren't pros yet, scattered throughout North America and Europe, Russia, and then, you know, keeping an eye on Rockford as well. And you know, we have staff in there with Pete Aubrey, Brian Campbell, Yannick Perreault that supplement what Anders Sorensen and Derek King do. You know, allows our staff is able to work more specifically on skill work and positional stuff. And you know, the amateur staff, myself, Eric Condra, Kendall Coyne Schofield, we've had the opportunity. With the schedule being what it is, we've gotten in there a couple times so far this year, and we help out as well. So that's a lot. That's the short of it. But that's it. And then, you know, with the promotion you talked about with the assistant GM, it's just you know, just being involved in some of the hockey ops conversations that take place, whether it's trades, free agency, drafting, just all around, just being a voice to Stan and Al, as far as just expressing my opinions, drawing on my experience as a player, the previous 6 years in player development, and just adding info and opinions where I'm able.
this year has got to be weird in terms of just being able to keep an eye on sort of everything everywhere. I mean, it would be different, you know, in other years. But I mean, how are you communicating with those guys maybe that aren't directly there all the time, with guys that you drafted that are maybe overseas or whatnot? Has it been a struggle? Has it been a huge adaptation for you guys?
You know what? Not too much. I mean, if anything, it kind of opened our eyes to some other possibilities out there that we'll probably continue with when things get back to quote unquote normal. We've done a lot of Zoom sessions, a lot of video teaching. And, you know, I think we've found it to be pretty effective. And if, you know, the situation wasn't what it was with this year and the pandemic and lockdowns and us not being able to travel or go to games, these are tools and ways of communicating that we may not have otherwise found. So if anything, taking the positives out of this year, I think we've found some tools to add to our repertoire that enhance our communication, our coaching and teaching abilities with these prospects that we'll continue to use going forward.
Yeah, it's all you can do is try and take the positives out of what's going on the past year. Now, unless some of the prospects are in Rockford, they're playing for other coaches, you know, whether it's college, juniors, overseas. Tell us about the balancing act that you guys have as you try to mentor and, you know, coach up and give your opinions or tips to the prospects under your control that are playing for other coaches, though. There has to be a fine line that you have to walk and not to cross too many lines in terms of what that coach may be saying, or is it pretty common that most of you guys are on the same page when it comes to some of the prospects and the coaches they are currently playing for?
No, you're 100% correct. I think that I've always said that's the hardest part of this job when you're working with the amateur guys who, like you said, they have their everyday coaches, the coaches that they're interacting with and playing for on a daily basis. You know, if it's us on the player development staff, we're communicating with these guys a handful of times throughout a month. We'll see them play, two, three, four, five times in a month. So that's fractional compared to the amount of times that their everyday coaches are with them. So first and foremost, we have to establish a relationship with their coaches and kind of get a sense of the things that they like out of their players, the things that they teach. And if anything, we just try to supplement. You know, we're not going to talk systems with our prospects. It's going to be more kind of universal teaching points, you know, whether for defensemen it's stick positioning or reads or net front play, gapping, whatever it might be. It's up to us on the player development end to know what the other coach, what the prospect's coach is expecting of them, because the last thing we want to do is have our prospect's heads spinning and, you know, 360 degrees. He's telling me this, he's telling me that. And then ultimately it puts them in a bad position. And then we tell them first and foremost, we give them the caveat, if we're telling you anything that's contradicting your coach, then disregard what we're saying, because the number one thing for development is to play, and you have to do what you have to do to have your coach's trust and for him to put you out on the ice in all situations. So, a lot of times it is a tough balancing act. More often than not, what we want to teach a player and things that we see that will make them better, that their coach sees eye to eye for the most part. More often than not, the players' coaches have their best interests at heart and, their development. If they're getting better, their team's getting better. So it's not often that there's conflicts in that regard.
Certainly a big thing over the summer was the rebuild word that came into play with this group right now and the focus that's going to sort of have moving forward, and obviously the role that you're going to play in that development and in that rebuild. So with who you have in the pipeline right now, are there any little gems that you want to pique everybody's interest about? Anybody you're really excited about that maybe a little bit of a surprise for us?
Yeah, I mean, I like to keep things tempered down. I don't underhype and over deliver. So, but you know, our first rounder from this year, Lucas Reichel, has definitely impressed, and you know, watching him on video and you know, Eric Condra and Kendall Coyne Schofield working with him throughout the season very closely, and the progression that they've seen there, they think that there's a very, very high ceiling for him and someone that Blackhawks fans may see in the lineup very shortly. But again, it's you know, like with development, it's, you don't want to rush it, right? I mean, you don't want to put guys in situations before they're ready, because ultimately that can stunt their growth or set them back. So I use the term, I like to play the long game. But you know, guys that have been in the pipeline for a while, guys like a Jakob Galvis, who's finishing up his year in Finland, this is his fourth year post draft, and he's just improved every year. He's gotten better every year, and we're excited to see what he can do in North America. Maybe as shortly as a month from now, or the start of next season, whenever that may be. But it's difficult to talk about individual guys because especially the year that was. I think every single one of our prospects has really shown resilience and professionalism, even though they're not pros, in finding ways to better themselves this year. Some on abbreviated schedules, some in bubbles, some guys that are in Rockford right now, Isaac Phillips, Chad Yetman, Cole Moberg, guys that really should still be playing junior that have been playing in the AHL for the last couple months and have been doing well. So it's been a positive year for all of our prospects, and they've all, improved one way or another.
As we wrap up with you here, I know Kendall's a busy woman, and it was a brilliant move to hire her along with Eric Condra to the player development staff. You mentioned her name in being involved with Lucas Reichel. How has she been received here? There's not a whole lot of her kind out there, and the Blackhawks making the brilliant move to hire her. How has she been received when she's the one picking up the phone or hopping on the ice and working with some of these guys?
I think she's been received very well. I mean, both from the players and everyone in the organization. I mean, as far as our prospects are concerned, I mean, I was asked that question a few times early on when she was hired, how I thought prospects would, would respond to her or receive her. And, you know, my answer then has only been validated, that these guys, they want feedback. They want to get better, whether it's coming from a male former NHLer, a female who's still playing the game, and she's been great. I mean, she's so knowledgeable, and the fact that she's still in the game, like, she's as close to she's probably closer to these guys than certainly me. And then Eric Condra too, just retired last year. So, she still has both feet in the door of her playing career. And there's so many more things that you learn and take in as a player that she's been able to relay to our prospects, and she's been received very well by all of our prospects. They've all, anybody that she's worked with or formed a relationship with has benefited from it, and the strong relationship there.
That is so great to hear. Well, Mark, thanks for all the insight and for taking a few minutes out to join us. A belated congratulations on the promotion, and keep up the great work. We can't wait to see what who's coming up next in the prospect pipeline here. Appreciate your time, and have a good week. Let's go get them against Carolina, okay?
My pleasure. Thanks very much, guys.
All right. Mark Eaton joining us here. Here is the assistant general manager in charge of player development for the Blackhawks, receiving that promotion a little bit before the season began, as the Blackhawks made some structural changes to the front office certainly looks like for the better, especially with Mark's role in it. Time for our first break here, our next break, I should say, at the bottom of the hour. And coming up after the 7:30 news with Roger Badish, we will be joined by Mr. Game 7, Justin Williams, now a member of Carolina's front office. Speaking of players who've recently retired and moving into the front office, that is Mr. Game 7. And we will visit with him and reminisce and look ahead to the series with the Carolina Hurricanes. All straight ahead when Blackhawks Lab, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com.
What an effort by Justin Williams once again tonight in a Game 7. Wilson couldn't get his stick on the puck. Hurricanes keep it alive. Williams towards the net. Score!
They score! Hey, hey, what do you say? The Canes win in overtime. It is seventh heaven. And the Carolina Hurricanes have advanced to the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Ah, the dulcet tones of Johnny Forslund there. As we continue here on Blackhawks Live, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Drive what Kane and Taves drive. Chris Moten along with Nick Ismondian. It is our pleasure now to bring in the guy they've called Mr. Game 7. 8-1 in those instances. 7 goals, 15 points in those Game 7s. And after calling it a career, he is now a special advisor to Carolina Hurricanes GM Don Waddell. We welcome in Justin Williams. And a two-pronged question to start you out. First of all, how many shots do you give my co-host out there on the golf course? And secondly, how is retirement treating you as you get bumped up in the front office over in Carolina?
Well, let me answer your question in two parts. Number one, it's a lot. but he's got his new clubs lately, so I'm thinking maybe a couple less.
Okay.
But I'm looking forward to the next time we're out there because he's a hoot to play with, that's for sure. The second part of the question, I actually just forgot because I was so interested in the first. What was it?
How retirement street? We just had Mark Eaton on, and you know he's played for four teams during his career. He's now an assistant GM and in charge of player development for the Blackhawks. And now you're wearing one of those hats in Carolina's front office.
Yeah, I mean, I actually played with Mark Eaton my first year or so in Philadelphia. So. Yeah. I know him a little bit. Always a super guy, but I'm enjoying retirement. I've been keeping myself pretty busy. Certainly with a couple kids that are very, very active. So that's been a lot of fun with me, and obviously watching the Canes games and giving my input when it's needed and when it's asked for is something that's kind of a perfect situation right now for me.
Buddy, always a pleasure getting to chat with you in a professional setting. And, you're still giving me a lot of strokes, by the way.
Keep it clean.
tell me a little bit about this Carolina Hurricanes team. So much has been made of them, especially here in the last few years, and a lot of a resurgence for them. And I kind of think that Rod Brind'Amour has a big part of that, but I feel like the character that is being built in Carolina certainly speaks to what the product is on the ice.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. The important thing for myself, certainly, but certainly that the team in general is relevancy. For such a long time, they weren't really relevant. Teams would come in, they'd assume they'd get 2 points, they'd get out of there, and that was that. And now, a certain level of respect has been established throughout the league throughout the past few years, and that's something that that I'm very proud of, that the guys are very proud of, and certainly management has been proud of as well. And especially having an owner like Tom Dundon who spent to the cap and is going to continue to spend to the cap is very, very refreshing as a player, and hopefully this Hurricane team will become a landing spot for hopefully a lot of people who want to play on a good team and have some sustained success.
Well, they come to town here tomorrow night, 1 point out of first place. Not that they needed any shots in the arm, but lately, tell me a little bit more about the end guys. Natchez, who was named the second star of the week this week after a huge game a couple of nights ago, and Nedeljkovic, who was certainly called upon in kind of a semi-emergency, but he has certainly delivered with the opportunities that he's gotten in net.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. I mean, Martin Moakley, he's always been dynamic, but now it's he's doing it in the game, and you know, especially that last game, you know, I saw him play against Tampa Bay. He was up to the scoreboard was what it was. Scored a couple goals, got a couple of assists, and was one of the main reasons we ended up winning that game. We were able to come from behind and win, but there were a lot of other instances in that game that probably aren't on the highlights that he creating stuff out there. And every time he's out there, himself and Aho and Niederreiter, that line, they're creating a lot of stuff every single time they're out there. And they're doing that against the other team's top line and the other team's shut down D. So it's one thing to do it, you know, against, you know, a second and third pairing, but when you're getting their best and you're doing it consistently, that's a step in the right direction for us. And for us to be great, you know, he's going to have to be a really impactful player for us.
Willie, you spent a lot of years with the Los Angeles Kings in the heyday, won two cups there, won a Conn Smythe there, and the battles back and forth every year with the Chicago Blackhawks were legendary. I had a front row seat to those, but tell me what it was about the rivalry between L.A. and Chicago in those big years in the early 2000s that really kind of stand out in your mind, and what excited you about playing the Hawks at that time?
Yeah, I mean, it seemed for 3-4 years there, it was just, it seemed like it was going to be a head-on collision in the conference finals. That's what it seemed to be every year. You know, obviously the years that, you know, we won the Stanley Cup in L.A. and then they won. It was quite a good back and forth, and to be honest, probably the best, one of the top two series, is maybe if not the best series I've ever been a part of, was I think 2014. In the conference finals, we played Chicago, went to seven games, double overtime in seven games. Obviously, I have fond memories of of that, but all that aside, it was just the ups and downs of the playoff series, you know, us going down 1-0 and then winning 3 straight, being up 3-1, and then they won the next two games to make it 3-3 and going back to Chicago. And you all know how awesome Chicago is to play and the home ice that they really earn, and how loud that place can be. It's very intimidating. And it was one of the best series I've ever been a part of. And I think probably everyone that played in that one would have memories of that as well.
Yeah, and well, it didn't turn out right for those of us up here, at least that 2014 one. Yeah. But it was your revenge. What was there anything particularly, you know, you've played in so many playoff series? Was there anything particularly unique about those matchups as opposed to, you know, some of the others when you were in Washington and Carolina and whatnot?
I think it was just the momentum swings of the games and the wins and the pressure, and it was just, you really had to keep a level head, because obviously both teams were very dynamic, and certainly the Hawks could score at will and they could turn a game upside down real quick, and you know, the goaltenders they're on top of their games as well. So just really, really fond memories of those times that you get to battle against the best in the world. And those are the things that as a player you just relish. You want that opportunity to do that.
Justin, as you get a chance to sort of kind of step into the business role of hockey, have you kind of set any goals for yourself? Do you know what the next steps are? Are you kind of just feeling it out? What's sort of next for Justin Williams here in the world of hockey?
Right. I mean, that's a question that I'm trying to answer myself, and that is really something you can only answer through experience. You know, what you want to be, you know, people always say you finish playing a game for your whole life. And all right, what do you want to be when you grow up? And that's kind of where I'm at right now. What do I want to do? I'm pretty sure I want to stay involved in hockey, because really that's all I know. I have other interests, but you know, something I think I want to stay close to. And this position that I'm in right now, I'm dipping my toe in pretty much every single angle and seeing if I like it. Seeing if I like this side of it and seeing if I can excel in it, see if I can be any good at evaluating players, at you know, scouting, at the many things that the management side entails. So it's been fun so far. It's been insightful. And, you know, I'm looking forward to the rest of the season here.
One more from me, and then I'll see if Uncle Nick wants to close it out with one more from him there. But what are your impressions of these Blackhawks from a distance? They've only faced them three times, but they've exceeded a lot of people's expectations with what they've been able to do this season. What's been your take on these 2021 Blackhawks?
Yeah, I mean, not to sound a downer to the Blackhawks or anything, but I was kind of like everyone else. I didn't assume that they would be so good. And at the start of the season, you know, kind of figured they might be towards the bottom. But, I mean, they've been super dynamic. They're actually very, very tough to play against because they're always – I find their defensemen are always moving. They're always up the ice. And, you know, they pass to their D and then they're up the ice. So you really have to stay on your toes as a forward, knowing that there's going to be four, sometimes even five guys up in the play on offense trying to score. And if you're not on top of your game, they will hurt you. And, you know, they've got a lot of guys that are playing well. And obviously, you know, with Patrick Kane, I know a lot about him and what he's been able to do. And it's just, it really is impressive. It seems year after year, you just tip your cap. And he's obviously played unbelievable and is leading them. And among other guys, but certainly the pedigree has been there, and that's a trickling down. And they've been a great team, and they've been tough on Carolina this year as well.
Willie, a guy you're familiar with, he's had an impact this season and last year until he got injured, but proud of him to make the bounce back is Calvin DeHaan. You spent some time with him in Carolina. what does he bring to this team in the locker room and on the ice?
Yeah, just you know, you certainly have guys who you play with that you kind of are like, oh, did I play with that guy? Oh, yeah, I think I did. He's not one of those guys, right? He's going to be a guy that you always remember. You'd be like, oh, DeHaan, yeah. And you have a smile on your face, and you're like, oh, yeah, that guy, yeah. He obviously was dealt a little rough couple years, and I can certainly feel his pain to some aspect, but for him to come back and you know, from those shoulder injuries and maintain a level head, because I certainly know it's not easy when you just feel like you get beat down again and again and again. He's come back and played an awesome top four role for Chicago, eating up a ton of minutes, and he's very, very composed with the puck, a great teammate, and obviously a guy that hopefully has found a solid role there, and looks like he has.
Well, Justin, thanks for taking a few minutes out with us. A pleasure for me to talk to you. I know you talk to Nick all the time, but it was a pleasure for me to talk to you and get a little insight into Carolina and look back on those great playoff series between the Blackhawks and the LA Kings. We really appreciate it, and good luck moving forward with the role as a special advisor over there in Carolina.
Thank you very much, guys, and good luck to your team as well. Just not tomorrow.
Hey, but if not tomorrow, buddy. Thursday, right? So, Justin, thanks a bunch. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Willie.
All right, take care.
Justin Williams joining us here, Mr. Game 7. And there was one Game 7 in particular that is painful for Blackhawk fans, and he was a part of it on the ice over at the United Center back in 2014. A lot of folks thinking it denied the Blackhawks a third, what would have been the second of three consecutive Stanley Cups. We are backed up. We need a break here, and when we come back, we'll get some final thoughts here as we roll it out up until 8 o'clock. You're listening to Blackhawks Live, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Drive what Kane and Taves drive. 7:51 here on 720 WGN. Welcome back to Blackhawks Live, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Drive what Kane and Taves drive. Chris Bowden, Nick Gizmondi back with you as we head down the home stretch of this particular program. Boy, two great conversations there, Nick. It was great to hear from Justin Williams as his playing days come to an end, kind of taking a track, at least early on, to what we had from our first guest in Mark Eaton. So hockey always in the lifeblood, and sometimes some of these guys just I can understand how it's difficult, and they want, this is all they know, and they want to keep their hands somehow involved in the game. And we'll see if it pans out Justin's way like it has with Mark.
Yeah, you know, listen, I mean, he's an incredible person. He's an incredible hockey mind. So those are the kinds of guys you want to stay involved in the game, right? You want him to develop. You want him to continue. And, you know, Justin's doing that, you know, at the NHL level, but he's also, you know, he's got a young son who's about to turn 13, and he's a pretty good hockey player. So he's involved coaching, a AAA team there in Carolina. And I just think that guys like that, like Mark, like Justin, you want those guys in the game still. You want them putting their fingerprints on the next generation. You want them contributing to the DNA of the greatest sport in the world. And it excites me that, you know, that Justin has gotten into that. You know, he and I've been friends since we were 15 years old. And, you know, I hope that when he did retire that he'd still find a way to be involved. And I was excited that he took that step quickly and didn't take much time off from the sport of hockey.
Well, we mentioned it at the top of the show about Kirby Dach returning to the lineup. And I think in a lot of ways, I don't know what it would look like from you from afar on television, but sitting there in person at the United Center on Saturday night, he may have been the best player on the ice for the Blackhawks. They probably needed some more guys pulling a little bit more. But I think he was their best player out there, and it only took, 4 minutes in for him to just burst through the Nashville defense, which wasn't an easy thing to do this weekend against the Predators, and he created himself an opportunity, unable to finish that particular one. But, now it's going to be about, there's probably going to be a little reset after the rush of these first two games, but and you hope the energy that he brings translates into better results here moving forward this week, starting against Carolina. But this guy just absolutely crushed the recovery timeline from that wrist surgery in late December.
You know, I think you and me kind of called that, not to pump our own tires, but we said that if there was anybody that was going to beat a timeline, it was going to be Kirby Dach, because he continues to do that. His development, his recovery, the tenacity, the want, the drive that guy has is impressive to me. You know, he was one of my favorite people last year to talk to in person, even when we didn't interview him on TV or it wasn't the subject of a story or a storyline that I was going after, for the pregame show. I would go up if Kirby was sitting in a stall, and I would just have a conversation with him, because he's so intellectual and he's got that drive and he's got that, I call it jam. He's got that jam. Mm-hmm. And I was super excited that he got back so quickly, and I think it will be a shot in the arm for the team. And I agree with you. I thought he was spectacular this weekend.
Yep. And so now this coming week, looking ahead, we have Carolina, as we've been discussing, coming in on Tuesday and Thursday. First time in a while the Blackhawks have seen the Hurricanes, who seem to be actually better than they were earlier in the season. And then you get tested again here. It was originally a back-to-back in Nashville this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. That Sunday game was moved from Easter to later in the month on the 19th, which I think is actually going to bump us on one of our Monday nights to a Tuesday. But you have to find a way to come through against Nashville. First things first, Carolina. And, man, they are really flying high and knocking on the door of first place once again.
Yeah, listen, I think a lot of that, as Justin said, the credit goes to the pedigree that is being built there, and Rod Brind'Amour and what he's trying to build within that organization. So yeah, keep an eye on the Carolina Hurricanes. It's definitely a team to watch, and I think they've emerged as a Stanley Cup favorite as well. And hey, maybe potentially on the Blackhawks side, some exciting news regarding Stan Bowman this week. I'm hearing in the rumor mill.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, so, I'll
get tossed
I'll
around.
Stand
there.
By for that. Thanks so, for that yeah, little nugget. Yeah, you tease. And the other great thing that we saw this week, real quickly, Kevin Lankinen. I mean, a lot of people had their doubts about him hitting a rookie wall or whatnot, but the team didn't play that well around him sometimes. No. Was Kevin perfect? No. Was his level exactly like it was back in February? No. But, man, he bounced back and actually looked good as well in that loss on Saturday at Nashville.
Yeah, I mean, you expected him, and with all due respect, you expected him to come down to earth a little bit after that, incredible through the stratosphere start, and I think that even the sort of comeback down to earth, and now what we're seeing him in that bounce back has been the MO all year. Even when he started to get those starts, he wasn't, he had some oopsies here and there, but he certainly bounced back, and he certainly got enough confidence to bounce back whenever he's feeling down. But he looked great.
The kid is so resilient so impressive. Can't see how he finishes out the rest of the season. We got to finish up this show. Thanks so much, buddy. We appreciate you getting Justin on for us, and we'll talk to you again next Monday night.
All right. Thanks for everything, buddy. You have a good one. We'll see you soon.
You too. And we also want to thank Mark Skeeton for joining us and the Blackhawks media relations staff for making that happen, as well as Nick's buddy, Justin Williams. We also want to thank our producer, Curtis Koch, our engineer, Brett Jackson. And a reminder, join us tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. It's a 6:30 start tomorrow night at the United Center for the opener of these two games against the Carolina Hurricanes. So we will have the pregame for you at 6 o'clock, followed by John and Troy's call at 6:30. Thursday night's the usual 7 o'clock start. And then, of course, a matinee on Saturday. The Blackhawks getting another crack at the Nashville Predators, who have leapfrogged them for fourth place. Coming up after the 8 o'clock news with Roger Battish from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, it's John Landecker. We thank you for joining us here on Blackhawks Live, presented by Chevy Drive, Chicago.com. Drive what Kane and Taves drive.